home one day to see some friends of mine. Of all the books and magazines, not a Bible could I find. I asked them for the Bible. When they brought it, what a shame. For the dust was covered o'er it, not a fingerprint was plain.
Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the words of all the prophets and the sayings of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find, there's none salvation hold. Get that dust off the Bible and redeem your poor soul.
Read of love and tragic things, and not one verse of scripture, not one verse do you know. When it is the very truth, and its content's good for you, dust on the Bible will doom your poor soul.
Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word, the words of all the prophets, the sayings of our Lord. Of all the other books you'll find, there's none salvation hold. Get that dust off the Bible and redeem your poor soul.
For sure, for sure. Get that dust off the Bible and redeem your poor soul. This area is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you on another Sunday evening for another cover-to-cover study of the Word with yours truly, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, and had to have a little coffee there. Saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Just press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you. Your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things at the beginning of the show, just before we get started. And then during the show, as we will be studying, beginning in Exodus 13 and prayerfully Exodus 14. So your questions and comments throughout. And then at the end, your questions and comments, and anybody who may be a latecomer with any prayer request at the end. So, Sister Ruth, right now, who do we got?
We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels, you, Brother Six, and me. Somebody else is on there, but they took a hike, so I don't know if they'll come back or not.
Yeah, someone keeps popping on, leaving. It's like playing teeter-totter, we've noticed here with the board here. Well, maybe they'll make up their mind and decide to stick with us. Okay.
Well, they might come back on and listen to the study anyway. So
they'd be welcome for sure.
For sure.
So, but right now, Six, what do you got for us? And we want to say welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, America. I am blessed. Mental is great. Two thumbs up for myself. Two thumbs up. Paws up for trumpet. Tomorrow, as we approach April 8th, 2024, the solar eclipse, very important from the Six Eyes Radio Network. We want you to enjoy the solar eclipse, but we want you to enjoy the solar eclipse responsibly. So please, if you don't have solar eclipse issue glasses, meaning you went to the store, Walmart, or order them off of Amazon, the solar eclipse issued glasses. You can't go to Walmart and just pick up a pair of sunglasses off the rack. You can't go in your drawer and just get an old pair of sunglasses, okay? You cannot put on a welder's helmet. Have approved solar eclipse sunglasses. The Six Eyes Radio Network cares. Want you to keep those peepers in order, keep them working, okay? And another thing, do not try to drive a car with the glasses on. They're only made so you can see the sun and the moon. Other than that, you won't be able to see and you'll be running into a lot of things. That's where mayhem happens. All right, that's from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy the solar eclipse, but enjoy responsibly from the Six Eyes Radio Network. April 8th, 2024, tomorrow. As always, praying for the world, mankind, my family, your family. Praying for the ills of the world, the sick and shut in. Praying for Tawana Goseby. Keep her in your prayers. The rest of the sick and shut in. And anything that's wrong, Jesus can fix it. Amen. With that, I'm complete.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to hibernate tomorrow because I don't think we're going to see the whole solar eclipse. I might watch it on TV.
All right. Well, Ruthie, what about your mental?
I'm probably about a 8.
Okay. Well, me, I'm doing about a 10 because, first off, I just got to say thank the Lord. I got to let the cat out of the bag. And I mean a trumpet.
I love trumpet, too.
Six was very kind to us today, sent us a pizza. It was very good. Thank you, Six, and the Six Eyes Radio Network for that pizza. It was very good. Very enjoyed that.
Amen.
Enjoyed that, and we were watching Dragnet today while we were eating that.
Oh, wow.
I think
wow.
You remember some of the old Dragnet episodes with Jack Webb.
Yes, Jack Webb. And you guys actually enjoyed the pizza too much because we operate on thumbs up, thumbs down here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We don't do numbers.
Okay, well, and two thumbs up and two toes up.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it. Well, definitely two thumbs up. My wings are spread right. My halo is in the right place. And tomorrow, the nice thing about a guy like me, he was talking about the solar eclipse. You know, C6, I don't know if you have artificial eyes. If you don't, Six, if you don't, you even... it would be wise for you not to be looking at the solar eclipse, even if you can't see it, okay? See, some people...
You want nothing to happen to you, Chris.
See, some people make that mistake. If you still got your original eyes there, even though you can't see it, it could cause problems and cause some very serious injury, okay? But for somebody like me, you could say I have my own built-in solar eclipse type of glasses in my head because they're artificial eyes. The solar eclipse is just not going to affect them. So.
Well, we could cover your eyes too if we go out, but I'm pretty sure we'll be here tomorrow.
So if I chose to go out there and point my face toward the sun to kind of feel the heat of the sun and then feel when it cuts out and know when it goes in and out, I could safely do that, but as you said, once again, let's have everybody be safe. Make sure you got the proper equipment on, the proper type of glasses. Don't drive with them because, as he said, they're not designed for that. And just for the pointer for those who may have some vision problems or may have no vision and they think, well, hey, I got no vision. I can't see the sun. Excuse me. Let's play it safe. You could still injure, if you got your original eyes there, it can still injure something. So don't take that risk, okay? Just a little advice from, as my one eye doctor used to call me, professor. So take it a little professor here of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Ministry, the eye professor. Take it from me. Don't view it if you have your original eyes in there, even though you may not see it. Okay? So, as Six would say, let's be safe. Amen. All right. Did you have any prayer requests, Six?
Yes. Keep my family, my friends, your friends in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Staying stress-free. And... Tawana Goseby, keep her in prayer, and the rest of America.
Amen.
Keep Angela in prayer. And with that, I complete. My family, my friends, your friends, praying for us all.
Okay, Ruthie, anything you got?
And keep Nicole in prayer. Amen.
Okay, I just have an unspoken, honey.
All right, Well, definitely praying for the situation over in Israel, but also all the different countries who have an unrest. Pray for different countries' leaders. They'd start to seek after God, not after man. Our military, be praying for them. Be praying for all of our first responders and, of course, our military. Pray for those who are sick and shut-in, all of our medical workers, and, of course, the sick and shut-in and the lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell. Be praying for wisdom tonight, clarity of speech, clarity of thought, clarity of mind tonight as we go through the Bible study, and be praying for those who are listening that they would receive what God has for us tonight. All right. So, Ruth, unless we got anybody else new that joined with us.
No.
All right, then we are going to turn it over to you for a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started.
And also baby Sophie. Baby Sophie, who was born premature, she's 2 pounds, so keep her in prayer. And baby Sophie, if I made it, you definitely can make it in this day and age. I was born in the dinosaur age, and I made it, so you'll definitely be fine. Keep baby Sophie in your prayers on the Six Eyes Radio Network. With that, I'm complete.
All right, Ruthie.
Okay. Now, this is Exodus 13.
That's where we'll be beginning, but first, give us a prayer.
Okay. Dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with all the prayer requests. It's what Six had to say there. Sophie, I think it is. And we have Emily. She has some personal issues, and I got some health issue, but I'd rather just keep it as an unspoken. And be with all the other people out in the world that need salvation and healing. And just help us as we study your word tonight, precious Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. We are now into Exodus 13, and we have just saw the Israelites, Hebrews, freed from Egypt. Pharaoh has given them the royal boot, and now they're packing up. They're already on their way out after all of the miracles, the signs that God had given Moses and his brother Aaron to show Pharaoh, and they ended with all of that with the firstborn of Egypt. Now, later we're going to find out why it was the firstborn of Egypt that he took, because there was a very significant reasoning in the firstborn, and we're going to find that out. All right, but we're going to go right into Exodus chapter 13 and verse 1.
Listen to discretion is advised. Listen to discretion is advised on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen to that. Okay, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying.
Okay, now, of course, here we go. God is now speaking once again. Hey, it's best if you hear God speaking, which, six. Here's something interesting. It starts out that with tonight again. And we're going to find that throughout this time with Moses, that God speaks to Moses throughout all of what he is doing. And something I'm going to let our listeners know already here on this Sunday night to be in advance, way, way in advance, okay? They're going to be knowing way in advance. And as we keep the numbers keep coming and we keep the updates keep coming for our bus, for the blind ministry, the day that it pulls in here and parks in our driveway, I'm going to get Pastor Bonnet, Brother Quick, and we're all going to have a very special service right here on a Sunday night for the Six Eyes Radio Network on the Six Eyes cover-to-cover study. And we're going to do the dedication of that bus to the ministry and to the Lord's work right here live on the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we will be actually on the bus when we do that.
You said we got 12% of the money?
Right now we've raised 12%.
Okay.
So just to let us know. So right now we're at 12, but as that number rises, everybody will know when we're getting closer and closer. So just to let you know, Six, what the Lord has, because that verse kind of reminded me, because that's what God spoke to me about. It was yesterday, okay, that he wants me to use one of these cover-to-cover studies and actually have it as a special service. So when that happens, you will be definitely notified as well as everybody else. Amen. All
Amen.
Right. So here God is speaking to Moses, and that's the best thing is to have God speak to you, have God lead you. Amen.
All right, move away from each other. I don't want to have feedback.
Ruth, if you turn down your volume just a slight bit, that'll stop that. Okay? There we go. All right, verse 2.
Okay. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine.
Now, do you notice something important here? What is the very first thing God tells them? Now, after the last plague that he just did, after the last plague, where he had taken the firstborn of the Egyptians, the firstborn of man and beast, he says now the same thing. He says now to the Hebrew people, the firstborn are what? Mine.
And he said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn.
And I was coming to that, Ruthie. Okay? He said, sanctify. Because they're mine. Now, what does he mean by a lot of people kind of mix up and get this word sanctify and get it all twisted out of shape and thrown clean out of whack. Okay?
Well, that's you covered, though.
Okay. Sanctify does not mean it's some sort of state of holiness. Okay? Let's make sure we understand that. This is not some state of holiness that makes the firstborn of man and beast something holy and more holy than the non-firstborn. No. When we read this verse, he says to sanctify, set them apart. That is what the word sanctify means, to set apart.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that too, honey.
It means to set apart, put to the side, for whom? God's service. For him. They are to be set aside and given to him. They are to be his. That's what it means to sanctify. It doesn't mean that they have already achieved some state of holiness more than the non-firstborn. No, it just means that they are now set aside, put apart, because they are given over to God's service. That's what it means to sanctify. Like when, as I just stated about the bus for the blind ministry, when it gets here and we have our dedication service, that is us setting it aside. If you will, sanctifying or setting it aside for God's service. Verse 3.
And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread be eaten.
Ooh. Now, here we go, reminding them then again about not eating the leavened bread. But you notice how he says this, God brings you out with a strong hand.
Amen. He did.
Now, did Moses say, well, it was because of me and what I was able to do? Hold it. No. When you're doing something for God, quit trying to take all the credit yourself. If you've got a gifting, give God the glory. Say that it is God who gave it to you, that God, by God, such and such has been done. And leave it at that. Moses did not take 1 ounce of credit. You notice that in this verse. He says, by a strong hand, God. He didn't say, by a strong hand, I was able to convince Pharaoh. You know, I used to grow up as I was the son-in-law of Pharaoh, and hey, the son-in-law of Pharaoh's daughter, and doing so, I grew up in Pharaoh's house, so I knew how to talk, and hey, because of that, no, you didn't hear all that from Moses. He said, by a strong hand, God. If you're going to do something for God, quit sticking yourself on a high stool and making yourself something special. Give credit where credit's due. Give it to God and quit trying to be on the high horse and give yourself credit like you're some sort of God. Too many people want big titles, lofty titles. I'm king so-and-so, or I'm queen so-and-so, or I'm blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, titles are nice. God called me as a missionary. Well, that's my job, okay? That's my job title. But God called me. God gave me the gift to understand certain things, especially about the eyes. God did, okay? And doing so, it is God, period. End of subject. God. If it weren't for God, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. Amen. Trust me, there's a lot of things I do, even on the computer, stuff like that. I wonder, even to this day, how I managed to be able to do that. I mean, when I was in the elementary school, in junior high school, I couldn't type worth beans. All I could do was peck with one finger at a time, and I had to stick my nose practically to the keyboard to look for the letter before I typed it. Now, I don't even look where my hands are. I'm going like crazy.
You do a very good job.
Why? It isn't me. It isn't me. I don't know how I do it. All I could say is God gave me a gift that when I picked up the computer, when someone in 2008 gave us a computer for the blind ministry, I put my hands on the keyboard, and in less than 3 days, I was typing as fast as if I had been typing on that thing for years. And it was like, now how in the world am I doing that? It was just like amazing. All I could say is God, and I don't want the credit. All right, verse 4.
Okay, this day came ye out in the month of Bib. Now, isn't that one of the first?
Is the first month for them. This is their first month of the year.
Yeah, because I'm doing a little study on Jewish things.
Ruth, this is their first month.
Yeah.
They had just had their Passover that night.
Yeah.
The very next day, Pharaoh gave them the boot. They had to leave in haste. That's why matzah, the bread they eat, the un-yeasted bread, is called the bread haste. Okay? We have to understand that. It's called the bread of haste for a reason. Because they were hastened out of Egypt. Pharaoh and all his men, they got mad. They didn't like what happened with all the firstborn being killed. And they was like, we got to get rid of these dudes. I'm kind of modernizing it for you guys. The story that we've had last week. Hey, we got to get rid of these dudes. They are some bad news. get them out of here and get them out of here now. not a week from now. Not 5 days from now. like last year was 2 months too late. like get them out. Now. And that's why they were hastened. And so it was the first month of the year, because God said this would be your first month, and he hastened them out of there quick. All right. Verse 5.
Okay. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he,
okay, which he
swear, okay, I was looking for this word, swear unto thy fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. There we go.
Now,
got it.
God tells him a couple things here. He says, one, when you get where you're going, to the land, where the Canaanite, Hittite, Hivite, blah, 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 where, when you get where you're going, where I'm taking you to. And he tells them where they're going. I mean, this is painfully obvious. They know where their destination is, okay? He says, now, when you get there, and this land is going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, meaning it's going to be a prosperous land. He says, when you get there, you are to keep this service, to remind yourselves what, not what you did, not how great you are, but rather how great I was in bringing you out, God says. Now, here's something else. He reminds them, he says, why are you doing this? To remember how I, what? Swore unto you. Now, the word swore here, to swear, isn't that God got up and said, you beep, 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 beep. Okay? Of course, for all the little ones who may end up listening later, at least I edited that for you all, okay? It wasn't because he was having a cuss fest, as we would call it today. We take the word swear, and we have modernized the word to mean someone using bad words. Okay. Well, we don't do that. We don't change the meanings of words. Oh, really? Years ago, the word cool meant something like what it was inside your refrigerator or freezer, okay? Or what it was outside in the middle of winter, okay? Or in the fall or spring. It was cool, okay? Or we used to say when you had a bolt and you had a nut on it and you took some wrenches to it, it was tight or it got loose, okay? And you put some wrenches to it, and you got it tight. Now, cool and tight mean, hey, man, that's really something good, man. That's something really good. It's cool. It's tight. tell me we don't change words. It was wisely said by a preacher, when words lose their meaning, people lose their way. When words lose their meaning, people lose their way. While the word swear, as it's written right here in verse 5, chapter 13, verse 5, is not God going beep, 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 you beep, 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 beep. No, that ain't what he's saying. No, it is God saying, I am promising you. It is an oath, a promise. Okay? We still use the word swear in that context. Well, when do we ever do that? Okay, buddy. How many of you watch court TV? They take the witness. They get him up in the witness box. They have him put his hand on the Bible. Sometimes now it may be even on a dictionary. Or they get a president and they get ready to bring him into office. What do they call that? They call it the swearing in. Okay.
Oath. It's taking an oath.
Hello? And he puts his hand on a Bible. Some of them put their hand on a dictionary because they won't use a Bible. Reprobates. But either way, and then they put their hand on there and they give an oath or a promise saying, and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, but the truth will help me God. What? You swear? Oh, you mean you're going to get up there and curse a blue streak?
No, they're just taking an oath.
Wait a minute. It means to make an oath. It means to promise that you're going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. All you got to do is watch court TV. I don't know if they give you that free on Roku or not, but I may have to check on that. But I used to watch enough court TV to know that, and I've been into enough court cases to know that, hey, that's what they do, okay? In fact, I was involved in a court case as a witness. I was a witness, and during the deposition, the first thing they asked me, will you swear to tell the truth? I says, well, the Bible tells me, and I looked at him, I says, as they were taking the deposition, I says, my Bible says not to swear by heaven or earth, because heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. I said, and I can't swear by Jerusalem because it's the city of the great king. I said, but I can make a promise that I'll tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They didn't kind of like that. They kind of threw them for a loop, but they had to accept what I had to say because I at least was still willing to promise to tell the truth. And they said, so, okay, well, would you accept the word affirm? I says, I'll affirm. Yes, I'm affirm. I'll promise to tell the truth. But I says, I just don't feel too good with that word swear the way you're putting it. I says, because, yeah, it does mean to make an oath. I says, but, look, if I can't make a promise that I can't keep, especially if someone's trying to trap me into an answer that I know is untrue, I'm not going to make a promise here. I said, I'll promise to tell as much as I know to be the truth, and that's the way it's going to be. But so God here was making an oath, a promise to his people. And the best part is when God makes a promise, when he swears or makes a promise, guess what the nice part about it is? He has the means to make it happen.
Because he's God, of course.
Isn't that awesome? So when he tells you, I promise to take care of you, if he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise he gave you. Guess what? You could take it to the bank. You could take it to the bank that he will save you if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You could take it to the bank that he will save you.
I'll be glad of that. Amen.
That's a promise you could take to the bank. Amen. I mean, there's lots of nice promises we're going to see in the Word of God as we continue on. And one of those promises right here, we could take that, even though it was a promise to the Israelites, we could take it as a spiritual promise for us that sooner or later, he is going to take us to a, quote, land flowing with milk and honey, unquote. That may not be down here. It may be. It may not be. But we could guarantee we will when we get to heaven. So that promise is for everybody. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Verse 6.
You may get happy enough to run around a little bit, darling.
Amen.
Amen.
That'll make a dead Baptist shout.
Yeah. Okay. That was number 6 if you want it.
No, go ahead.
Okay. All right. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord.
Okay. Now, 7 days, okay. Now, remember, this is the feast of the Passover. We just had the feast of the Passover or Resurrection Week. That was the day when Jesus had Passover with his disciples. Now, we have to remember what was supposed to be in that Passover feast that he had. They were supposed to have nothing leavened, no yeast in anything. It was not supposed to be in the houses, because if it was, it was an abomination to God. So the cup that he had that the disciples drank from did not have any yeast in it. It was not alcoholic wine. So some of those people say, well, that was alcoholic wine. It was wine. No, it was not wine. It was the fruit of the vine. Because it wouldn't have been alcoholic. It didn't have no yeast in it. Amen. All right. And verse 7.
Okay. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters.
Ooh, don't do it. Don't do it. God repeating himself, don't do it. It better not be seen with you. No, because leaven was what? A symbol of sin. Sin. And God did not want there to be any symbol of sin with you. You're supposed to be pure. Supposed to be a pure feast. Okay? And verse 8.
And thou shalt shew thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Now, why do you do this feast? So that when your child, when your son, your daughter, when they ask you as they grow up, well, why are you doing this, Daddy? Why are you doing this, Mommy? You're able to look at them and say, because of what God, here it comes again, not because of what I did, not because of what I did, what God did, God did. He brought us out of bondage. He did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't Moses. It was God. Put all the emphasis on God where it belongs. Amen. All right, verse 9.
Okay. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And all I can say is praise the Lord there.
Now you notice, he said, okay, you've heard the saying. How many of you have heard the saying, I know so-and-so like the back of my hand?
Yeah.
How many of you said that?
I think I have.
How many times you've heard that saying?
I
know blah, 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 like the back of, I know blah, 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 like the back of my hand. I know this like the back of my hand. I know that like the back of my hand. I know my dog like the back of my hand. I know this dude like the back of my hand. I know his car like the back of my hand. Well, what God says is, you do this. And it's got to be so ingrained into you that it's like as if it was written right on the back of your hand. Like, even though God did not want them making markings on their skin, whatever, he said it's like as if it were right there that way. Because most of the time, if you ever look when you sit down What position are your hands? Most of the time, back of your hand, straight up toward your face. And doing so, he said, it's got to be like that. You got to know it so well. It's like as if it's written right there on the back of your hand so you could look square at it all the time. It's like right there in your face why you're doing this. Because of God, God, God. Okay? Verse 10.
Okay, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth for a strong hand, for the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. I think, did I read that already?
Yeah.
They just said that in the other verse before it. Okay, that's what it was. 9 and 10 have a similar ending to them. Okay.
Right. And so you notice he said he's repeating it. Why? He is repeating this because he wants to establish it. He wants to establish it. Get it like it's known, like the back of your hand. Establish it. Well, all right, verse 11. You're muted.
I didn't do 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in the season from year to year. That's 10.
Okay, that's why you read 11 twice. Okay.
I'm tired, probably. That's all it is.
All right. So, yeah, you do it every year. Every year. Okay, now we'll go on to 12.
Wait a minute. I didn't do 11 twice. I didn't do it at all.
Okay.
And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. There you go.
Okay, you read 9 twice. Okay, now I see what you did. Okay, so now he says, what was that 11 again one more time so we got it straight?
I don't mind. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swear unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee.
Now, you notice, once again, he says, when it comes to pass that you're going to get to the land of the Canaanites, as I what? Swear unto you that I promised you, gave you my most solemn oath, God said. Now, can God do it? Yeah, he's capable. He's able to do it without failure. Because God cannot fail. All right, verse 12.
Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's.
Now, here he comes back to that first theme about the firstborn, especially the males, being his. Because remember, what did he take in the land of Egypt? The firstborn son of man and beast. He took the firstborn males. Okay? And now let's see why he does this. All right? Verse 13.
Honey, you might want to explain what the word matrix means.
Yeah, that means the womb. That means it means the womb. It means, when a woman gets pregnant and she gets ready to give birth, that means opening of the womb.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The firstborn child that opens her womb. Okay. That's what that means without being too graphic.
Yeah, like my cousin had 3 kids. Okay.
See, if I get too graphic, yeah. 6 might get squeamish and I have to run for the toilet.
Uh-oh, we don't want to do that. Okay.
Poor 6. All right.
I'll give him a hug, but anyway, and give Truman a hug too. Okay, let's see.
Verse 13.
Okay. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou hast break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shall thou redeem.
Now you notice, he says, okay, now here's the rule. Here is the rule. Every firstborn of beasts you are to give to the Lord. Now, if it's a firstborn of a donkey, No, the Bible didn't make a cuss word in there when it said ass. It's a donkey. Okay. Yeehaw. It's a donkey. It's not the somebody's body part. Okay. It's a donkey, a mule. Yeehaw. So he says, if you won't, he says, you got to redeem it with a lamb, a substitute. That's what a redeem means, to give a substitute for it. Just like Christ became our substitute, our redeemer, when he died on the cross in our place for our sins. But he says, okay, if you will not redeem that donkey, then you break his neck, you kill him, because you wouldn't redeem it. All right? And verse 14.
It shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Well, praise the Lord for that.
Now, you notice God, he's going to get into the reason for the firstborn here. So you got to be paying attention. And now he's going into the story. He says, you tell your son, the reason we redeem our firstborn, we redeem the firstborn and we give them to the Lord, and we redeem and give the firstborn of our animals and redeem for the donkeys. Okay, the reason we do this is because, first off, God, nothing about Moses yet. God brought us out of Egypt. He, God, brought us out with a strong hand. And verse 15.
Okay, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. Okay, if I would have waited a little longer, I would have had that explained. Thanks for you telling me, though, too, darling.
See? God explained it to you. He says, okay. Now, the reason you do it, here's the reason. Because when God brought us out of Egypt, and God brought us out with a strong hand, he, God, took and killed off all the firstborn males of Egypt and all the firstborn males of the beasts. And now God wants us to give him the firstborn of our beasts and redeem our firstborn of our children, of the males. Why? Because it is in remembrance, a continual, perpetual remembrance of what God did in Egypt to bring them out on the last plague. That's what it is. All right, and verse 16.
Okay, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Again, praise the Lord there.
Here it comes again about that back of your hand thing. It's like the back of your hand, and he says, frontless between your eyes. Basically, you've heard him, some people say, oh, it's as plain as the nose on my face.
Heard that, yeah.
Huh? How many people have said that? Oh, it's just, I know this person like the back of my hand. Or, oh, it's as plain as the nose on my face.
Yeah, I've heard those
things. How many of you have said that? Huh?
I imagine success, too.
Shout amen.
Yeah.
Come on. Shout amen if you've heard it.
Amen.
God is saying this should be passed on to your children until it becomes that plain to them. pass it on to them until the story gets so plain to them that it becomes like the back of their hand or as plain as the nose on their face. This is the reason we're doing this. Why? Oh, because Moses did all these great signs. And Moses. No. He kept saying, because God. Not because Moses. Doctor so-and-so. King so-and-so. Queen so-and-so. Program manager so-and-so. Program editor so-and-so. Engineer so-and-so. You could throw on any kind of title. Reverend so-and-so. Pastor so-and-so. Evangelist so-and-so. We could go on through titles for a year. Okay? Secretary so-and-so. Deacon so-and-so. But it isn't so you could say all that. No, it's so you could say God. Took us out of the land of Egypt. God brought us out with a strong hand. God did this. Let's make it clear who did it. God. Capital G.
God.
Capital O. Capital D.
Yeah, he's the only one that could have.
Like Pastor Bonnet would say on Sunday morning. So how many times he emphasizes this? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Amen. What? Capital G, capital O, capital D. God did it. Amen. All right. And now we go to verse 17.
And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt.
Now, why do you think God all of a sudden brought this point in about them when Pharaoh let them go and God brought them out? That God, why do you think God brought in, Ruth, about them, God leading them in a different way, away from where the Philistines were having war? Why do you think that was such an important point to bring up?
I'm just looking at it here for a little bit.
Why do you think that's so important?
The land of the Philistines. Well, that was near, for God said, let's peradventure the people repent when they see war. They returned to Egypt. That was a possibility. But see, they wanted to go back to Egypt sometimes, and they used to yell about that.
Right, but you're getting it, but you're not getting it. Okay,
no,
let me help you, okay?
It's an old lady. I don't
kind
know.
Of
sometimes
asked
I'm
that
not.
Question because I knew that you wouldn't be prepared for it, see?
Yeah.
And neither would most of our listeners unless they have studied this in depth.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't really.
Remember, the Hebrew people had just gotten out of, we just read, they just got out of Egypt. They were not ready to handle war. When you were a baby, were you ready to run?
No, not
a marathon?
I do some crawling before you walk.
Exactly. You had to first learn how to sit up. Forget crawling. You had to first learn how to sit up. Then you had to learn how to flip over on your belly, get your arms and legs underneath you. Then you had to learn to crawl, and then as you started crawling around, you weren't paying attention to what was in at the top of your head, and wham, you'd run into a coffee table leg, or a table leg, or a chair leg, or maybe maybe where the TV was sitting, or the piano. Or the piano bench. So little Ruthie would get a bunch of bumps and bruises, but eventually little Ruthie learned that, hey, she learned how to crawl and to watch out for those obstacles. Then one day Ruthie came near a table leg or a chair leg or something, or maybe the coffee table or something, and one day she just grabbed a hold of it and pulled herself up. Next thing you know, she's standing on her 2 feet.
I was about a year old. Yeah, my mom had it in a baby book.
Okay, but Ruth, follow this. So Ruthie's standing on her 2 feet, but she's holding on to that coffee table or that chair leg or whatever she's holding on to.
Yeah.
Now, she hasn't walked yet. She's got her body is her legs are holding her, but she's been still supported by that other object. The minute she tries to take a step, down to the floor she goes. Well, she keeps trying to take this little step and that little step. Next thing you know, her legs begin to support her, and she tentatively takes a few steps. She gets a little further into the room, and boom, a few more times she'll go a little further. Next thing you know, she's walking pretty decent. But then when she tries to pick up speed, boom, right on the floor again. Okay. And then she learns how to turn and all of that. But eventually, next thing you know, she's running all over the place like a firecracker. Okay. Until one day she's not paying attention. Bam! Face first into whatever it is. Okay. And then finally she realizes, hey, I got to watch where I'm going. But it all took time before, hey, she could actually go like a firecracker, okay, wherever she wanted to go, and she didn't run into things. But she didn't learn that. She had to first learn how to sit up, okay? Well, the same thing with the Hebrew people. They just got it out of Egypt. God knew they were not ready for open war yet. They had just gotten out of slavery. They're not prepared. None of them are well-seasoned soldiers yet, okay? So they're not ready for battle. And if they saw war, the first thing they're going to do is go, ah! And they're going to run back to Egypt because they're going to be scared as the Dickens seeing war because why? They're not ready for that. So God knew the safest thing to do is lead them away from where battle was going on and said, okay, till I could teach them to trust in me and to be ready for what they have to face, then I'll bring battles to them, but I'm not going to bring them to battle at first. Well, the same thing for you and for me as we go through our Christian walk. When you first get saved, you ever notice God don't put big, heavy-duty battles upon you when you first get saved? But then as you get going in your walk and you get stronger, then it seems like the Lord allows the devil to put on these wars on you, spiritual battles that seem to come at you from nowhere. Next thing you know, hello, who is it? I'm here to let you know that, hey, did someone tell you that Jesus is God? Yeah. Well, I want you to know Jesus isn't God. God the Father is not God. God the Father is God. Jesus is just an angel, and you're ready to battle him. But you wouldn't have been able to handle that when you first got saved. Next thing you know, if you would have tried that when you first got saved, next thing you know, you'd be twisting the scriptures all around. You'd be probably joining them. Okay? So God knew what you had to have when you first got saved. Well, the same thing with these folks. He knew they had to have only what they could handle at the time they needed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, he will not put no more upon you than you're able to bear. But with that temptation, he will make a way to escape that you could bear it. Okay? So if God is allowing you to have a temptation, he already knows that you can handle it. And with it, he's going to give you a way of escape.
Aren't you glad for that, darling?
Amen. All right, and verse 18.
But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Excuse me.
Now, isn't that funny, the word he used there? Most people miss this word, okay? He said he led them around by the way of the Red Sea, and he led them, notice the word, harnessed. Harnessed. Most people miss that one little word, harnessed. Why? Because a lot of them were carrying the burdens on their shoulders of what food, what have you. You got to remember, they didn't have wagons to carry things home to the new land. Yeah, they had some of their beasts with them that could carry some of the burden, but they did not have wagons. They didn't have wagons to carry anything. They had to carry it on their own backs. So if they had clothes, guess what they had to do? Carry it on their back. If they had a little junior that was only 6 months old, guess what mama had to do? Carry little junior on her back, in her arms. She couldn't carry him in a little, roll him down the little sand-strewn desert in a stroller. no strollers for that. So everything had, so that's why God used the word harness. They had to literally carry everything on their persons, just like a team of horses or whatever has the harness on them, and they're carrying or pulling the burden of whatever they're pulling, such as a wagon or whatever, with them. Well, these people were having to do the same thing. All right. And what's interesting about that is, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us, if you're working for God in the field, he says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy. Well, if you know anything about old-fashioned plowing, usually you have a team in a harness pulling that plow. And if you take your eyes off the across the field where you're supposed to be plying to go, keep a straight furrow, your horses could be going anywhere. Amen. All right. And verse 19, Ruth.
Okay. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you.
Now, you remember back in our previous studies when Joseph had died, he was the second in command to Pharaoh. He told them, look, eventually, God is going to have you carry me out of here. He prophesied that. And he says, and when you do, I don't want to be left behind. I want you to take my bones out of here. I want you to take my bones out of here, bury me in the promised land. I want you to take me over there with you. And now, Moses and the people are carrying out that request. So they've got the bones of Joseph, they got his casket, they got that with him, and they're carrying it now to the promised land. So not only are they carrying the burdens of their clothes and all that, but there are some men that are having to be pallbearers the whole complete way to the promised land with the bones of Joseph. Kind of a grim sight, okay? And verse 20.
And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness.
Okay, and so they got from Succoth to Etham, and now they're right there. And we're getting, now, when it talks about the wilderness, we have to understand, okay, just clarity here, a little clarity. When it talks about wilderness, this is not speaking of a dense forest area, okay? Just to clarify for folks, when God talks about in the Bible a wilderness, he's not talking about a densely populated forested area with a bunch of trees. Nope. When he says wilderness, it's talking about a rugged, dry, and barren place. A rugged, dry, and barren place.
Sounds like a desert.
Like a desert, yeah. That's what it is. So when you see that word, as we continue through these cover-to-cover studies, when you see wilderness, remember, it is not talking about a forested area. So when John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness preaching. He was preaching in the wilderness of Judea. It was not a forested area. He was preaching in a dry, barren place. Okay. All right. Verse 21.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
Now you notice God is giving them guidance. God here is giving them guidance. Now, you say, well, I don't know what way to go. Well, if God will guide his children through a dry and barren place, guide them for 40 years, as we're going to see, that's what it takes, and he guides them with a cloud and a pillar of fire, if he guides them step by step until he brings them to the place where they are to be, who are you to say, well, God is not giving me guidance? If you say that, then my question to you is two things. One, are you praying for it? And if you are you listening? Or are you just sitting back and only wanting to hear what you want to hear from God rather than what God is saying to you? Okay, like a certain somebody who me and Ruth know, remains nameless, but definitely needs prayer. They sit there and they claim they're praying for God's guidance on their life because they are looking for a certain thing in their life. And they're praying for guidance, but yet every time you hear them talk, they are the ones trying to seek their own signs, whether it's out of God's word or in some visions that they get, or, oh, well, I read this and God showed me this, or God, and it's always what they think is their own thing, and it's always what they believe. And they put their own spin on things rather than waiting for God to truly show them what he wants them to see.
I like the person might want to be patient.
So when God goes to guide you, you have to be patient and ask him for the true guidance and then be willing to wait. Now remember, he always, as he's guiding you and he answers your prayers, he always answers prayer. Well, God never answered my prayer. Wait a minute. Wait. What did he answer your prayer? Well, he said no. Well, wait a minute. The last time I checked, no is still an answer. When you have a kid and he asks you for money to go out there to buy the ice cream from the ice cream truck that came down the street and you told him no, you answered him, didn't you? Well, that was an answer. That was an answer. Well, the same thing. Well, or if you told him, wait till tomorrow. Wait a minute. Did you not tell him? Wait. Was that not an answer? So when God answers us, he could either answer us yes, no, or wait, which is another word for maybe. But still, in either case, one of those three answers he'll give us. So, but either way, he answers our prayer. The point is, all we got to do is sit back and wait to see which one of the three he says to your prayer. But don't say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, he did. He answered it one of three ways. You just need to sit back and listen for his answer and quit trying to interpret what you want into the answer that you want it to be. Amen. All right. Verse 22, I believe, is our last verse in this chapter. Right, Ruth?
Right.
All right.
Okay. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I'd say praise the Lord, too, to that. That was nice of him to do that. The guy
Amen.
Helped him
and
out.
You notice, see, the pillar of the cloud in the day, because obviously it doesn't need to have any kind of brightness during the day. Just a simple cloud would do the trick. So he guided him with a cloud. Now, that goes to show you something. It says a cloud. It didn't say clouds, plural. So, obviously, what was the rest of the sky? Clear.
Yeah, I got you.
The rest of the sky was clear. And these guys are, I mean, if I was one of those dudes, I'd be sitting there saying, hey, God's got a cloud here to guide me, but the rest of the sky is clear. But you know, some of us, that we complain over the fact that there's this, that one cloud in the sky. Oh, well, it's still cloudy. Boo-hoo. You know, some people, well, I don't want to go out because it's partly cloudy. Excuse me. If it's partly cloudy, that means it's mostly sunny. What are you whining for? Get out and enjoy the weather. Well, it's 60 degrees out there. Well, hey, buddy, at least it ain't 22.
Yeah, I think we complain too much about
Amen.
The weather.
Amen. At least it ain't 22. Hey, 60 degrees is pretty good. Get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And at least it ain't 105.
Please.
So what you whining for?
Yeah, I don't think we
or sometimes we may whine if it gets up to 105. Excuse me. Okay, it's 105 degrees. But do you have a house that maybe has air conditioning? No, it gets a fan. Well, hey, buddy, what about the homeless who don't even have a fan or a house to go to?
I know. Well, I think
so. Don't you think you ought to thank God for what you got?
Amen.
Amen. So, I mean, we complain, and sometimes we forget there's others out there who are a lot worse off. And instead of thanking God for the 3/4 of a glass of water that we got, we're whining about the quarter of the glass that's missing. Well, thank you, Lord, for the glass of water that I've got, okay? Amen. Just like today. I mean, hey, I was grateful for the pizza I got. That pizza tasted good, too. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, that tasted good pizza. I still thank God for it. I know that was God that put it upon their heart to do that, and I still thank God for it because it came at a time that it was most needed. Amen. All right.
We got special friends, too.
Who do we got with us that may have any questions right here at the middle of these two chapters?
Okay, hold on. Let me go look.
Okay. Just in case we've got any questions, I want to make sure everybody has a chance.
Well, we have people, but they don't have their hand up. So.
Okay. If you want to be on, stay in there real quick, Ruth. If you wish to have any questions, just press number one. We will get your mic open. If you have any questions... All right. Do you have any questions while we're waiting, Ruth?
I think I'm doing okay. Could ask Six.
Okay. How about you, Six? Okay. I think his phone didn't get its coffee.
No, I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions. Just enjoying the show.
Okay. All right. Well, Ruth, did anyone seem like they wanted any questions?
They don't have their hand up.
Okay. All right.
Press number one if they're going to say anything.
All right. Well, then let's move on. Chapter 14. And we'll go ahead and get that accomplished. And then if we have any questions, we'll open up a check for any mics at that point. All right. Chapter 14 and verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
All right, here we go again. God is speaking to Moses. Hey, well, we all need to pay attention. See, a lot of people take that, well, God is speaking to Moses. Okay, I'll just read right over that verse. Wait a minute. Instead, here's something we all could do. And God said unto me, put that in your verse, okay? God said unto me. Why? Because the verses that God is speaking to Moses, he's also speaking to us. He's trying to tell us something in these verses, okay? So let's not take these as, well, God just spoke to an ancient man way back before when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt. And, hey, well, it don't apply. No, wait. And God is speaking unto me saying, okay, because, hey, when he spoke to Moses, he's now, since it's in God's word, God obviously wants to speak to me. So, all right, verse 2.
Okay, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Okay,
basically he's telling them, okay, he's telling them between these certain cities that you're supposed to encamp, but basically the most important part, you come up to the Red Sea in between these cities, and right there at the Red Sea, that's where I want you to be, at that one specific spot. Now, he didn't say go downstream to where it looks like a real easy crossing. Okay? He didn't say, look for a place where you could ford the Red Sea, where it looks real easy. No. He said, I want you to go right here. There's a reason I want you to be right in this spot. Now, once again, just like I was talking about God guiding, okay, with the cloud, and God guiding with the pillar of fire. Because you notice the pillar of fire was at night so that they could keep on the move day and night. And so he tells them, okay, this is where you're going to go. Now, isn't it interesting that sometimes God calls us in one way and we want to go a different direction? Okay.
I found that to be true, yeah.
Now, okay, when I was called to the blind ministry many years ago, I knew that God, and I still believe it to this day, beyond 100% of a doubt, that he wants us to go from blind school to blind school, blind camp to blind camp. And right now we're raising the money for the bus that we're going to use to do that task. And right now, as we've already updated the folks, we're at 12%. Anybody wishing to donate to that, later at the end of the program, we could give information for anybody who may be interested in doing that. But, now get this. I had no clue way back then, that I'd already, in this ministry of the blind, would be getting out to people in several hundred countries, reaching out and helping people in hundreds of countries, and we're doing that long before this bus is a reality. Why? Because God led us to the Six Eyes Radio Network. God led us that way. Now, I could have, when this first came around, I could have said, oh, well, I don't believe that's God's will. I don't see how that's God told me to do it. No. I looked at it and I said, okay, Lord, you're the one guiding here. I'm not supposed, a guide is not in back. Anybody who knows anything about a sighted guide, when they guide a blind person, or even if they know anything about a dog guide, like a seeing eye dog, they know that the dog don't go behind the blind person and push him along. No, the seeing eye dog's out front and guides in front. The sighted guide lets the blind person hold on to their arm, and they guide in the front position. Well, the same thing with God. He says he was going to guide the people. Now, that meant he had to do what? He had to be out front to show the way, lead the way. And doing so, when God called me, when he started to show me this thing with Six Eyes Radio Network, I said, okay, God, if you're going to use this in the ministry and your call on my life to do this, I'm not going to ask why. I am just going to follow the lead, just like a trailer on the back of a truck. I'm not going to ask why you're going this way. I am just going to follow along, and then I'll find out why you're going that direction once you get me there. Well, now I know. And all I can do is say, thank you, Lord. Just like I said earlier in the broadcast, once we get all the funds for the bus, we are going to do it right here on the Six Eyes Cover to Cover. Right here on the show, we are going to have the bus dedication right here on the show, because it is such a, the ministry is such a part of the Six Eyes Radio Network that, hey, it is appropriate that we do the dedication of that bus for the ministry right here. Amen.
And you might want to explain that we're planning to stay with Six Eyes.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. We are staying part of Six Eyes.
Yeah.
And, hey, we've already got things in place that will allow us to stay with Six Eyes even on the road. I'll explain that to Six Eyes later. A lot of technical garbly-gook, but I can explain that to him and Ruth because she can't figure it out. But I've already figured that out. All right. So, and in verse 3, Ruthie.
Okay. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.
Now, all of a sudden, guess who's coming back into the picture?
Unfortunately, Pharaoh.
Pharaoh's coming back into the picture. God is going to bring Pharaoh back into it. God is going to bring Pharaoh back into it. Why? Because he wants to get glory. God wants to get glory over Pharaoh once and for all. Okay? Now, we're going to be real soon bringing up another scene that everybody is very familiar with on the Moses Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston. But we're going to bring up that scene and point out how something is totally wrong. So hopefully you all stay tuned here. All right, verse 4.
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host. The Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so.
And so God says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart again. And he's going to come after you guys in one big hurry, and he's going to follow after you hard, it says. But he says, when I get done, I'm going to have honor on Pharaoh and his host, on the whole bunch. The whole lot of them, I'm going to get honor. And when God says he's going to get honor, he'll get honor. Amen. All right, verse 5.
And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?
Hold it. Time for that scene. Now, it says here, the Pharaoh and his servants said, why did we let Israel go? But I kind of remember a scene where a certain woman tells Pharaoh, what about the kings in Troy and then blah, 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 and they're going to say you just basically a wimp.
It was his wife, Nefertiti.
and they're going to laugh you to scorn. It's laughter. And he goes, laughter. And he gets his arm around and he says, they're going to remember the laughter of Moses that he died under my chariot wheels. Remember the scene?
And then he talks about mingling with her own, too. Like,
and then he grabs his sword and stuffs it in the sheath, and he says, and she goes, well, I want you to kill him with your own sword. And he goes, I will, to mingle with your own. She says, I want to see the blood of his blood on your own sword. And he goes, yeah, to mingle with yours. But, okay, so we're going to find out if, because later he comes back, Pharaoh himself was supposed to come back to Nefertiti with his sword that he never killed Moses, and then he throws it on the floor. We're going to see if that all ever happens in the Bible here, okay? We're going to see if that really happens here, okay? So, but right now we already see that it's not true. It wasn't Nefertiti who got Pharaoh to say, hey, I'm going after the after the Hebrews. No, didn't say that. God said it was God who did that, and it was him and his men who already thought of the idea. Let's go back after these dudes. All right, verse 6.
Yeah, but I like the last of the movie. It said, yeah, and his God is God.
Yeah, but we'll see.
I love the ending because God is God.
All right, go on, verse 6.
And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him.
So Pharaoh gets he himself and his people, all of his armed men, they all take off. They get ready to take off. Now, so far I haven't heard anything about him going and telling his wife that he's coming back to slay her with his sword. Okay, and verse 7.
And he took 600... chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them.
And so now he gets all these chariots together, okay, yeah, and there was quite a host of the chariots in the movie. Remember that? There was a big lot of the chariots, okay?
Right.
Okay, and verse 8.
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand.
Wait a minute. Where's Nefertiti in this? Nowhere. Not one word about her telling Pharaoh anything. This is all Pharaoh's own thoughts that did this, okay? So he leaves. Now he's chasing after the Hebrews to bring them back. Him and his chariot men are all after the Jewish people, after the Hebrews. And so they're doing this all on their own accord, okay? And something else interesting. It doesn't say nothing about the Pharaoh saying, well, to the temple people, hey, I'm going to bring you back your temple treasure. Why? Because the Jewish people wouldn't have taken those temple treasures from the Egyptians. Yeah, they asked from them gold and silver, but they didn't take their temple treasure because they didn't want nothing to do with those idols. Okay? At least at that point, they didn't. They wanted to get out of there. All right. And verse 9.
But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon.
And so here we find, okay, as they say, meanwhile at the ranch, we got Moses and the Hebrew people. They're encamped right there at the Red Sea. They're right at the Red Sea. They can't go nowhere. We got the Egyptians just now showing up on the scene with all their chariots. Now, something that's wrong in the, remember, in the movie, they show the Hebrew people having wagons and carts and all that. and they were going to use it to protect themselves by putting their carts in Pharaoh's way. They didn't have any, okay? Because why would they have any carts or anything? They were slaves, okay? They weren't going to be able to take anything like that out of Egypt with them. But Pharaoh and them had these chariots. So, I mean, because God is going to show himself mighty. Because it would have looked awful funny if God was having Moses and them having carts and wagons and everything real fancy, and then he's protecting them against Pharaoh and them who have chariots too. No, it seems more dramatic and more of God protecting the Hebrew people when they have nothing but their own bodies. That's why, because you don't read nothing about, so far we haven't read one word about the Hebrew people having any kind of chariots, any kind of wagons, any kind of anything like that. Okay, now we go to verse 10.
I think a lot of times in movies, honey, they do things for a theatrical purpose.
Right. They wanted to play down.
Okay, 10. But when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
Ooh, I guess I would too. And isn't it funny? When things start to go bad, what did they first think they did? Here they are again.
Yep.
Now things are going bad. Oh, God, help us, please, pretty please.
Yeah, they did a lot of complaining.
But they weren't calling on God while they had just left Egypt and Pharaoh had booted them out with a boot, okay? But now that all of a sudden the Egyptians are chasing after them and they see Pharaoh coming after them and ready to take them back, then now all of a sudden now they want to cry, boo-hoo! Oh, God, help me. Oh, wait a minute. What about you, listener? Well, I don't do nothing like that. Excuse me. You do the same thing. Don't tell me you don't. We all do. When things are going well, you put God on the back burner, and he's like, oh, okay, there, Jesus, you're over there. I thank you for what you've done, but okay. Your Bible reading goes by the wayside. Your attendance on Six Eyes Radio Network, where you can get your praise on without leaving the house, kind of goes on the wayside. Sunday night, cover to cover, on the wayside, you know. Motivational Monday, oh, well, a little attendance. I can miss that. Wednesday for the children's Bible study at 4 o'clock, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7, and the truth of the matter at 7 o'clock. 9 o'clock on Thursday night. Well, you know, we could slip a little bit, but let all of a sudden your little kid be diagnosed with cancer. You won't miss a show. Well, I would. Yeah, you would, you little rascal, you. I might want to pull over and park on that one, but yeah, I felt like that. But this is Bible study. You would. Because I've done it myself. I'm guilty too. Hey, man. I'm the first one who say I'm guilty. I do it. I've done it before. When things are going great, hey, okay, Jesus. But what I got to do is I got to remember, wait a minute, God is God all the time, not just when things are going when things are going bad. I got to remember he's God all the time and remember to keep him in the forefront all the time. And that becomes tough, and that's when it takes discipline. Amen. All right, verse 11.
Okay. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Oh, here they go with their complaining.
Notice who they go whining to and who they complain to and who they blame.
Moses.
Isn't that something what we like to do? when things don't go well in the church, who do we blame? The pastor.
Yeah.
The deacons. Oh, it was the Sunday school teacher's fault. They didn't teach me just right. Or the organist wasn't playing the music just right, so that's why I didn't get the song just right when I was singing in the choir.
That's a dumb excuse, darling.
I didn't go to choir practice for 5 weeks because one day when I was last in there, they weren't playing the songs just right, and I couldn't stand it some more, so I left. Wait a minute. Maybe they were playing them the way they were supposed to be playing them. Maybe you weren't singing them the right way because you wanted to sing them a different way, and the choir director said they had to be done this way. Why didn't you listen to the director? Amen. God gave them a leading that they had to be done a certain way, and you were trying to buck that. You were trying to buck that. Okay? I mean, sometimes we got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And what you need is to have a hierarchy, and someone's got to be in charge, and then there's got to be those under them, and then when a certain person is out of line, then you could take it to the person that's a little above them to say, hey, if you go to a job, if someone like a cashier isn't doing their job, you could go to their supervisor and so on, okay, to get things fixed. Well, same thing, okay? Every place you got to have a hierarchy. Well, in this case, they go and blame right from the beginning. Moses, it's your fault. And so they go whining to him instead of complaining to God and saying to God, wait a minute, we're stuck here. They go blame Moses. Oh, well, it's because there was not enough graves. And now you want to bury us out here because there wasn't enough in Egypt, not enough places to bury us over there, so you want to bury us over here. You don't want to bury us in the promised land, but you don't want to bury us back in Egypt. You want to bury us in between. Yeah, real smart. Okay, verse 12.
Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Here they go again complaining.
Now, you see, that, isn't it interesting? Here they are. They're just new out of bondage, and they want to go back to it. They want to go back to it. Why? Because it's all new for them, and they don't want. They, as we pointed out with God trying to keep them away from that other place that had war, since this is new to them, they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for the conflict. And doing so, the first thing they said, oh, well, we ought to just go back to Egypt. That way we don't have to worry about it. We just live over there. Hey, yeah, we had it tough, but hey, at least they took care of us. Hey, yeah, right. You want to go back and be a slave? Here, we're trying to get you to be free, and you want to go back and be a slave. Not good. Okay, that's like, okay, Martin Luther King, he fought, and Abraham Lincoln fought, got Emancipation Proclamation, got people to be freed, slavery's abolished. Okay, why are you going back to slavery? Why are you constantly talking about what you was? Talk about what you are now. I mean, you're not living in the days of Martin Luther King. This is 2024. Talk about what you're doing now. Talk about the freedom you got now and what you plan to be in 2025, 2026, 2030. Let me hear what you're going to do then. Don't tell me what happened back in 1855, okay? Yeah, that happened, and I'm sorry for it, and I'm sorry that it happened to you folks. It just like to those who have disabilities, we're under oppression too. But, hey, I want to look ahead to what I'm capable of doing, not what I'm not not able to do. I want to know what I'm capable of. I'm thankful for Martin Luther King and what he did. I'm thankful for Abraham Lincoln. He signed that proclamation. People got to be free. Okay? Well, the job is done. Now let's move forward. Amen. I mean, yeah, there's some jerks out there, but no use going after each other like a bunch of angry dogs. Hey, we're all made out of one blood. Acts chapter 17 tells us that. And, hey, you don't believe that? We all came from Adam and Eve. Live with it. And, hey, you get cut, it comes out red. I get cut, it comes out red. Go ask any surgeon. He'll tell you that. Amen. Take care of that. All right, verse 13.
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen, today ye shall see them again no more forever.
Now, does that sound familiar?
From the movie. Sounds just like it there.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden he spreads his hands out and says, behold the salvation of the Lord. And then he spreads his arms and the water peels back. But this is the quote that they came from. They took that from the Bible. So there are quotes they do take from the scripture. But as we pointed out, there are quotes from the movie. There are things from the movie that they did not get from the movie. They just threw them in for dramatics and to make things look more fun, but they're not Bible. All right, verse 14.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.
Isn't that a good point for all of us to take?
Amen.
The Lord shall fight for you.
He's done it many times.
Don't take that, Ruth, don't take that as something that God said to Moses. Don't take that as something that Moses spoke to Aaron.
Yeah.
And that Aaron spoke to Dathan or any of those guys that were with him. No. Ruth, read that verse, but put one word in front of that verse with your pen, your name.
Well, he's done it many times, and that's going to be in my book anyway. So
put yeah. Your name in the beginning of that verse. Six, in the beginning of that verse, put your name. Queen Nye, in the beginning of that verse, put your name. Evangelist Clayton, in the beginning of that verse, put your name. Dear listener, whoever you may be, what your name is, put your name in the beginning of that verse and read it, Ruth. What does it say?
The Lord shall fight for Ruth, and Ruth shall
hold
your
peace. No. Put your name first and then read the verse.
Oh, I was reading it for you. It says word you.
No.
Okay.
So, Ruth.
Okay, Ruth, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Ooh, isn't that powerful?
It is, and he's done it many
Ruth,
times for me.
God will fight for you.
Yeah, he knocked the devil out many times and got me healed in some cases, too.
So no matter who you are, God, dear listener, God will fight for you. Awesome.
Amen.
It's not going to be Moses that fights for you. It's not going to be Joshua. God himself, in this case, Jesus, because Jesus is God. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us Jesus is God. In the book of Hebrews, God himself tells Jesus that he is God. He says, my God said unto my God, he told him in, God said to Jesus, he says, to him, he says that he was God. It tells us there that God calls Jesus. He calls the Son. God says unto the Son that he is God. Because you find that in Hebrews chapter 1. In fact, let's look at that, Ruth, so that we get the exact reading of that.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1. I think we need that.
All right, let me go.
We need to read this for just to be sure we got this.
Okay. Okay, I got Hebrews chapter 1.
I believe it's verse 10, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'll try 10.
Uh-huh.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning.
No, that ain't it.
Okay,
just start us at verse 1, and we'll read down, and we'll find it.
It's only got 14 words.
Okay.
Okay, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angel he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith,
here it is.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Okay, read that verse again, Ruth. There it is.
But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Right there you have it.
Beautiful.
God calls Jesus thy throne, O God. Thy throne, O God. This is God speaking to the Son, thy throne, O God.
It's forever and ever. Amen.
So Jesus is God. Why? Because he's part of the Trinity. So when those guys come to your door, boys, I got a little news for you. It's right there in Hebrews. All right. Verse 15.
Yeah, we believe in the Trinitarian doctrine. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Yep.
Amen.
All right. Now you said 15. Okay.
15.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward.
Now, can you imagine God speaking to these folks?
Yeah, I can imagine.
This is what I was just saying a few minutes ago about slavery, what have you. They're wanting to go, hey, let's go back to slavery. No. What did God say? What I just said. Forget the past. Go forward.
That's it.
You ever look at a seeing eye dog?
Yeah.
How many of you know the commands of a seeing eye dog or any dog guide?
Well, of course I do, since I've been with you, darling.
Let's see. If you know the commands, you'll notice. Let's see. They know how to. The dog knows. Forward.
Yeah.
Hop up.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Down.
Left.
Yeah.
Sit.
Yep.
Down.
Right.
Come. Stay. Yep. And find the blank.
Yep.
Which is whether it's find the curb, find the stairs, find the chair, find the counter, find the stair, find the escalator, find the elevator. Okay. And follow. Okay. Those are the commands that a guide dog knows. But did you notice one command that is not there? Yeah, they know the word steady, but you notice they don't know one word? nowhere do you hear a handler tell their dog, back up.
Oh, no.
Reverse.
Oh.
Backwards.
That might confuse you and the dog.
No, no, no. If you want to go backwards, you have to turn completely around and go tell it to go forward. The dog never goes backwards, okay?
No, they don't.
Never goes backwards. You ever read the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6? Let's see. You're given a helmet.
Yeah.
You're given a shield.
Yeah.
You're given a breastplate.
Uh-huh.
You're given a thing for your loins. And you're given the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
And you're given the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
But do you notice something that's missing? Nothing for your back.
Oh, we guess they have that too.
There is no armor to cover your back. Why? Because God doesn't want you to retreat.
He wants us to go forward.
He wants us to continue forward.
Yeah.
That's what he tells these Hebrew people. Go forward. He doesn't tell them, okay, retreat, let's go back to Egypt now. You made it to the Red Sea, it's time to go. Go back, here's Pharaoh, go on back, be buddies to him. No. He said, move forward. And they're like looking at Moses like, are you nuts? What do you expect us to do, swim across? Are you nuts, Moses? How are we going to do that? Moses, what have you been putting in your in your grape juice? How long have you had that? Is it got yeast in it? I thought you told us we weren't supposed to have any leaven in this feast. What have you been doing, sneaking leaven in? You got a little wine, got a little drunk? You want us to go forward? Last I checked, look forward, Moses. You need one of us to find who's the eye doctor here. You need an eye test and need it quick. There's a body of water in front of us. What are we supposed to do with that?
Well, they waited. They could find out the Lord had a plan.
But Moses still said, go forward. Well, when things look impossible and God tells you to go forward, you don't question why. You step out and let God finish the job.
Amen.
Because guaranteed, watch what happens here, okay? When they think there's no way under heaven they could go forward as Moses has commanded, and God told Moses to do this command, God says, yeah, you'll be able to go forward, okay? And let's see, verse 16.
But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
What? Can they go forward? Yeah.
When the Lord sends them the power there,
on dry land, they're not going to have to walk through.
Yeah.
They ain't going to have to swim. They ain't going to have to wade their way across. They ain't going to have to go around and find a shallower area. Nope. He says, right here. Moses, lift up the rod. We're going to part this thing right down the middle, just like a knife, and it's going to end up being dry ground, and you're going to be able to walk right on across hunky-dory. And yes, you'll be able to go forward, no retreating. And verse number 17.
But isn't that a wonderful miracle when, you know, he did it, you know?
And for you skeptics, now I want you to be listening very carefully here. Okay. Okay, go on, Ruth.
All right. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen.
You notice what God said? He said, I'm going to warn you, Moses. This is fair warning. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to chase after you guys. But there's a plan. There's a plan even in this. Don't get scared. Don't go, oh, they're coming. No, he told Moses, which obviously he was supposed to pass on to the people. Don't be scared. It's all part of God's plan. They're going to come after us, but don't worry about them. Because God's got a plan for Mr. Pharaoh and all his horses and all his horsemen. He's got a plan because he's going to get himself some honor over these dudes. All right, verse 18.
Hold on a second here, honey. I had to turn this around. Okay. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horse. Well, I just read that. Okay, wait a minute. 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them.
Whoa. Did you catch that? Read that verse one more time, Ruth.
I think it's beautiful. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. I think that's beautiful.
But do you realize who this is?
Jesus.
The angel of God, or the angel of the Lord, same thing.
Yeah.
Went from before them to behind them to act as a rear guard.
That's beautiful.
And he split the two camps, the Egyptians from the Hebrews, and he stood right between the two. We are talking the pre-incarnate Jesus is standing between the two camps, guarding his people. He's standing there. This is Jesus before he comes to earth as a man, and he's now guarding his people. Awesome. All right. And verse 20.
Just give me a second here. I had to get more.
1001 seconds over.
Oh, you're very funny, darling. Okay. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night.
Now, you notice what it's saying? It's saying that the cloud became a cloud to the Egyptians, making it. Now, as you know, at night, if the sky is cloudy, what happens? There's no moonlight, no starlight, no nothing. It's dark. Okay? It's really dark. Okay? But yet, on the other side, there's pillar of fire is toward the Hebrew camp, giving them light all night so that they could see what they're doing to prepare for their great exodus across the Red Sea. And thus, one camp couldn't get near the other. Here we got another problem with the Moses Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston. It only shows the pillar of fire between the two camps. And Pharaoh tries to tell them, hey, you better try to breach this and go after the Hebrews, and they wouldn't breach it. And he goes, wait, I ain't going to go. You can't fight against the power of God, blah, blah, blah. That is not how it happened, boy. And Pharaoh goes, it's better to die in battle with a god than in shame with a man. You remember that? Well, that never happened.
Like I said, there's a lot of us theatrical, sweetheart.
Theatrical, but wrong. So that's why it pays, if you got a biblical movie, it pays to read your Bible to check out these facts for yourself and see what's true or not true. Okay, now verse 21.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Praise the Lord.
You notice God said, okay, made it like a, had a big east wind, and the waters just peeled back. Can you imagine what those folks were doing, the Hebrew people? They saw that. Saw that water just peel back.
They got freaking out.
About that time, here they had already heard the command from Moses, go forward. And already, as you well know, they're looking at Moses like, yeah, right. You want us to go forward into the water. What, swim? Now they're looking at Moses like, whoa. I've never seen water peel back. Wind push water back and make it start to dry out like that. They're looking at Moses like, what? He can control the elements? Whoa here, dude.
God is God. I mean, hey.
They're looking at Moses like, oh, boy. Okay. And verse 22.
Okay. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Again, praise the Lord.
Hold on here. Where does it say anything about them having wagon wheels and their wheels coming off?
Nah, that's against theatrical stuff in the movie.
And any of them saying, hey, pull for all your life and all your worth. And any of them saying, is your life worth so much and blah, blah, blah. Do you hear any of that here?
No, that's...
Not in this
that's
verse.
That's the theatrical stuff they put in there for X.
But what I'm pointing out is you don't see it in this verse. But hold on to your hats. We're going to see it here soon. Okay, but it's not to the Hebrews. All right, verse 23.
Okay, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen.
Now, here comes Pharaoh and his chariots. Now, they got chariots. They got wheels on their chariots and all that, right? Okay, so here they are. We're talking horses. We're talking chariots, okay, and horsemen. Okay, got to keep that in mind, Mr. Skeptic, because we got to show you something here, okay? All right, verse 24.
And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians.
Now, you notice, remember, between the two camps, there's that pillar of fire, pillar of a cloud, in between the two camps. And now God is looking down between the two, which is Jesus. He's looking down there. He sees the Egyptians. And now he goes to trouble the Egyptians. So it's bad enough that here they are in the midst of this Red Sea. They're in the middle. They're in the middle. So it isn't like they're going to have an easy way of getting out fast. They're in the middle of it. And God says he goes to trouble them. How does he trouble them? Verse 25.
And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.
Whose chariot wheels came off?
Egyptians.
Not anything to do with the Hebrews. Hebrews didn't have anything like that. They didn't have no wagons, no wheels to come off.
Right.
But the Egyptians did. And when their wheels started coming off, God made it so that they drove their chariots real heavy through there. They got bogged down because the ground started getting muddy and soupy, and they started bogging down. And they said, and their wheels started popping off. And they said, oh, wait a minute. Obviously, there's a God here. Remember, Egyptians were always very superstitious. So here they go, oh, my, their God is obviously fighting for them because we're having a real rough time here. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here because their God, they knew who it was, their God is fighting for them. Okay, so now the Egyptians are giving the God of the Hebrews credit. Here's where they are giving the God of the Hebrews credit, right there in the midst of the Red Sea. Pharaoh wasn't back at home telling Nefertiti, their God is God. He didn't say that there, not did he? No, it was in the midst of the Red Sea, and let's find out what continues to happen, verse 26.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen.
And now God says to Moses, okay, I got these guys right where I want them. I got them where I want them. Now I'm going to smoosh them. And that's what he does. He says, all right, stretch out your hand so the waters could come down on these guys. We're going to make them forget sink or swim. It's going to be, they're going to sink. Okay? There ain't going to be no swimming at all. All right? And verse number 27.
And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea.
What? Hello, Mr. Skeptic. Hello, Mrs. Skeptic. For those who like to say, oh, well, it was only ankle-deep water that Moses and all his people came through, well, then explain to me how God killed Pharaoh and all his host and his chariots and his horsemen in ankle-deep water.
Yeah, some people make up.
Well,
junk,
then, if you're trying to tell me, Mr. Skeptic, that it wasn't a big miracle for Moses to cross that because it was only ankle deep water, then hallelujah! It was an even bigger miracle than I thought because God killed Pharaoh, his chariot, and all his horsemen and their chariots and all their horses in ankle deep water. Hallelujah! Glory.
God did it with his power.
I didn't realize it was that big a miracle. Thank you, Mr. Skeptic. But no, the Bible says the way it was, I'll take it the way God said it. It was the water was parted, and it was a big body of water. And yeah, they got down in the midst of it, and God drowned them. But if you want to say it was ankle-deep water, hey, that's fine with me. It just makes it a bigger miracle anyway. So either way, it was a miracle, buddy. Amen. All right, verse 28.
And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them.
Not one. You know that song, No, Not One? Well, in this case, that became true of Pharaoh and his crowd. No, not one. So it says Pharaoh and his chariots. It says Pharaoh. Notice that?
Okay.
Take a good look at that. It says Pharaoh.
Yeah.
So did he escape, go home, and confront Nefertiti, and then throw down his sword and say, well, his God is God? Did he return to the palace?
No, he died.
No, he died. He croaked in the Red Sea.
You said all the hosts of Pharaoh.
Exactly. The whole lot of them, including Mr. Pharaoh, went right down into the bottom of the Red Sea.
But in the movie, they show that he's standing there, and he goes back to see her, and that's all.
Yeah, they show him at the bank of the Red Sea,
yeah,
and then putting his hands down.
No.
Did not happen, Charlton Heston movie. You're wrong. So we stand to correct you with the Bible. The Bible says Pharaoh croaked in the Red Sea along with the rest of the dudes.
I think the Lord was also sick of them because they were idol worshippers.
So, all right. And verse 29.
But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Praise the Lord.
Now, could you imagine walking through there, seeing the water on both sides of you? As if they were walls?
Be beautiful, huh?
Beautiful, but kind of be like, whoa. That'd be something to make you want to sit there and praise God.
Amen.
Make you think of the power and majesty of God, how God sits there and can have over nature. Here you are walking and maybe walk over and touch the water and actually feel the wetness, but realize it's not coming in on you.
I know, because that's the power of God, yeah.
And some people want to tell me God ain't powerful, God ain't mighty.
He is.
That has to be some power. Because you realize how much, I mean, for every so many feet that you go down in water, you gain so many pounds per square inch of pressure. So you could imagine what that would have been. You know that God has to have some pretty good strength. And that had to be some pretty strong wind to push that back like that. But God did it. Like, no problem. Here we go. Okay. And yet, even though it was strong enough wind to push back that water, at the same time, it did not blow a single one of those Hebrew people over and make them fall on their faces. They were able to walk because... think about it. If it was a strong enough wind to hold that water back, you'd think it might be strong enough that it would have blew a person over from walking. But no, they were able to walk. It says they were able to walk over on dry land. Now, that even makes it more of a miracle that most people miss. They miss that fact that all that wind going through there holding that back, and yet the Hebrew people were able to walk upright on their 2 feet and weren't blown over or blown clean through, blown off their feet. That took a miracle. Okay, and verse 30.
Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore.
Now think about it. The Egyptians, when they died, they floated up. They floated up to the top of the surface, dead as doornails, and right to the side of the seashore. There they were. There were their bodies, but dead as doornails. No one back then knew CPR couldn't have saved them from their drowning. Nope, they were dead. Dead like flies. All right, and verse 31, I believe, is our last verse for this chapter.
Yes, it is, though.
Okay.
And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, praise the Lord.
Well, I guess I would see, if that's what it takes for you to fear, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm scared of you, God. Oh, God. Oh, I'm a... No, that ain't what we're talking about, fear. It ain't like you're terrorized. That's not what we mean by fear. We mean fear as in highly respecting, highly honoring.
Amen.
Okay? That's what we mean by fearing. Okay? How many of us have that? How many of us have a fear, a holy fear, holy respect, holy honor for God? Or does it take... Because you notice nobody even had a fear for Moses or God. Didn't say anything about them doing that until, I mean, here they had been through the 10 plagues of Egypt. Nobody did that. But now all of a sudden, after this Red Sea incident, now all of a sudden they want to fear God. And now they want to fear Moses. They want to respect him. Is that what it takes for you, dear listener? Does it take a major thing from God? Does he have to take maybe a tornado, whip it coming down the street and it jumps over your house to show you that, well, hey, I'm God and I care for you? Does it take for God to have a hailstorm so bad that it's knocking out power and everything and tearing up roofs off of houses, but your house is untouched? Is that what it takes for you to say, okay, I'm going to honor and respect and love you, God, and I'm going to start doing something for you? I'm going to start getting into services and studying your word? Is that what it's going to take for you to go to every one of the Six Eyes programs that where we put on the Bible? Is that what it takes? I don't want it to have to be said, as Jesus said. He says, when he was coming down the road on that donkey, and the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the high priest and all them says, hey, why don't you shut these dudes up? He says, hey, if they hold their peace, if they shut up, the rocks are going to cry out. Excuse me, I ain't going to let some rock take my place. My shouter ain't broke. How about yours? Amen. All right, Ruth, so who do we got with us? May have comments, questions.
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you. We have, I think that might be Nicole, and I'm pretty sure that's Queen Nye. So they don't have their number ones up there, but if they want to say something, they can.
Okay, just press number one, everybody, if you wish to join in. Any last-minute prayer requests, questions, comments on what we've run across tonight, we would be glad to have any of that. But we'll start with Ruthie. Anything you may have to say while we're waiting to see if anybody pops up with their hand? All right.
Well, actually, I think you did a good job. And I think Blog Talk might be putting us out pretty soon, honey, because they're already 12 past 11.
Well, we're in the bonus hour, so
yeah.
We got a little time here.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure how long they were.
We are in the bonus hour, so we're good yet.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad the Lord helped them and everything. You know, we all make mistakes, and, you know, you just go on and serve the Lord anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I look at it.
Anybody else with any questions, comments, prayer requests, prayer praise, that kind of thing tonight?
Those beautiful ladies want to say anything.
Well, we know Queen Nye, if she wishes to speak, she already knows that she can open her own mic. She knows how to do that. So, if she wishes to.
I'm good.
We're going
Thank you
once.
So much for the lesson. So.
All right. Okay, well, glad to have
night.
You again, once again, Queen Nye.
All right. Have a good evening, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All righty.
Love you.
Okay.
Okay.
You too.
All right. Last call. Going once. Going twice. And we're gone. All right, Ruthie, we'll give you a chance to give us a closing prayer here. And then we are going to say God bless, good night.
Yeah, Lord, we thank and praise your name for an opportunity to read your word and learn from it. And we just want to praise and bless your name. We love you, sweetheart. Amen.
Amen. And if anybody wishes to help keep programming like this on the air, just remember you could give a love gift any way you wish there of two options. You got PayPal. And you just put in the email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, you just enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter that love gift in there, and then just send it off, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Now, if you also wish to be involved in helping us toward the bus project for the blind ministry, we just tell you to go right to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, B-I-B-L-E-S, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Go straight down the home page to the bottom where you see the little heart, and you click right under it. It has a link there. It says Love Offerings. Click that, and it'll bring up our secure PayPal page where you could give a love gift. While you could use your credit card there or your PayPal account, just go ahead and enter your information in there, and right there where it asks for what the love gift is for, just type in there just a simple word, BUS, B-U-S. Just type in BUS, and we will ensure that that goes toward the bus so that we could get that taken care of, and we would appreciate that. You can also send any love gifts with a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You make that payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, make any check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for any love gift that you give. And on the check or money order, just in your memo, put the word bus, and we will make sure it gets to that. And God will richly bless you, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. So for all of us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're going to say God bless, good night, and we will catch you tomorrow for all the great programming. First of all, at 5 p.m. is the Six Eyes Lost and Found right here on this station. You call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. 5 p.m. Eastern right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, on Station 1, you call 424-243-9617. 424-243-9617 is Motivational Monday with our truly Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. So you want to catch all that great programming, and we'll say God bless, good night, and have a good evening, everybody.
Everybody, bye-bye.